Right, this is going to be the newest episode of Hot Take Point Made with the three amigos or whatever. You could figure it all out on that one. Huey, Louie and Dewey or whatever they were called. You can keep going through how Harpo Marx, I don't even know the other ones, Groucho Marx, Balkan Marx, whatever. You can figure it out. Right.
Just don't do three amigos, please. Yeah.
Someone had a really good name for us on the HLTV forums. I'm going to try to find it right now. Hold on. Just keep going.
This could be like iconic if it's good. If it is, right, we'll give rare credit to HLTV forums, which I think personally
No, it was something. It was insulting. It was like the delusional trio, but it was like a better play on words than that. It was really funny, actually. Okay. I laughed.
Because I will say, I have never understood that thing, right? Here's what's funny. Back in the day, I actually get why people used to go on 4chan. Because people were trolling there. Because you had to basically be anonymous, but it was a way to get away with saying outrageous opinions on the internet. You would actually get brilliant points there sometimes you could tell someone was like, you know, like an economics major and he just had like a great theory he couldn't say otherwise, or someone would have something for it. I never see that on HLTV. I don't even like, to me it's just like Twitch chat that goes way slower.
That's
by the way, that's even a banging fucking line for the forum there. It's just bad, isn't it? It's dog shit.
I don't want to acknowledge it too much but I have gone on it a handful of times, is that the Counter-Strike esports thread on 4chan is incredibly funny. It is actually the funniest source.
I couldn't believe it.
Like reading stuff about yourself online is something that is wholly detrimental to our own mental health, but reading stuff about other people that we know is just legitimately so freaking funny. Like, because it's just caricatures of what the fans think they know about people we actually know. Yeah. And then it's just, they'll come up with way funnier jokes there. They're way more unique. And it's not like, and also I think the problem with now Reddit for a long time and lately HLTV is that it's so, like, people just want to, like, pound the common narrative and say the thing that's like upvotes to the left, like the most upvoted thing. But 4chan has never had a problem with that because it's actually unique thought, because they don't give a shit if
you don't
wrong.
Get anything like, for it. Yeah.
You only just want to make yourself laugh. So you actually just put the funniest shit out there. Yeah.
No,
they're better. They're actually better.
Right. Okay. I actually think I've got a tick to start off with, but I'm going to do it Kassad style. Normally, I just lead with Heat Rocks all day long. I'm swinging for the fences on all of them, mate. I'm either striking out or I'm hitting homers out of the arena. I'm just waltzing, my moonwalking around the diamond. I don't even fucking know the terminology, but that baseball square thing that they walk around, it's not cricket, is it? It's not cricket, gentlemen. Anyway, that's also a British saying if you don't know. Right, so what I'll say is I'll start with my medium take, though. But I actually think to some people this will be shocking. So right now, as we do this episode, PGL Bucharest is going on, and for whatever reason, PGL is the only tournament Astralis is capable of actually playing CS in, for some reason. Spoiler, probably because the field's just not as good. And when I've been watching them, I know a lot of people have actually come around to my side on this detail about one of the players, but I want to go further. I've been watching, I even looked up the stats, and I've been thinking about the way their game works. And mate, I'm not even exaggerating. I'm going to make this take careful, because I do think when you have players like the obvious name is Device, who is still good, but he's not at his peak, and he obviously was one of the greatest players. Like, he could actually have been the GOAT of CSGO, depending on how you break it down. I think in the current Astralis, for this year at least, with like this roster, man, I actually think I would say the best player in their role is Stare. It's the guy that they just make do all the T-side entry work, like, which, by the way, in itself is not a compliment to Astralis, but it is a compliment to Stare. So first of all, on the Astralis point, like, that is a terrible sign, because, spoiler, he isn't the Danish doc. This isn't like he's like, oh, and he's the best as well, but he must be like, you know, fucking exertion or like peak. No. You all are fucking up. Like, by the way, if you're Stowney Yabby listening to this, understand you are shitting the bed hard, because you have made this guy do like the hardest fucking T-side roles in your team. And by the way, there are times where, for real, they are almost bordering on that, like, go first. I will trade you. And you don't, by the way, you're just abusively sending the guy in. But the guy fucking does work. And also, he's one of those people where you look on the player cams, you look at like his form in losses and wins. He doesn't seem to ever get fazed by them playing like badly or whatever. Like, this guy actually seems to have a really good mentality. And the reason I bring this up is because if you think about how politics work in esports, and by the way, especially in Astralis, if you think of the history of the team, actually, the problem in Astralis is they have one of the worst old school qualities that still remains, which is you get kicked based on your rep and your name, not based on whether you're the worst player. So I'm sorry, if you look at the names they have in their team, on paper, he is the name that is the smallest. He is the one without the reputation who hasn't done all the big things and won the championships and had the major runs. But I am not even joking. If they were to rebuild Astralis tomorrow, this is the first player you keep, by the way. I mean, by the way, especially because of Device is old as fuck and he's all injured and shit. Like, who even knows his future? I actually think in his role, Stare is the best player of this team. I want that to be partly a compliment to him. I actually think he's doing a great job, like I said, I think in all senses. He also seems like a true professional. But I also think it's somewhat of an indictment of Astralis as a team to say that too.
When you ask, you said he's the best player in his role. Like, what does that mean?
Are you having a fucking laugh? Do you know what a striker is in football, Kassad?
But he's best player. Is he the best player of the fucking team? That's what I'm asking. Is that what you're saying?
In their team, they presumably have five roles, right? He is the one doing. He is the one doing his role the best.
Yeah, between him and Device, he's a better entry. Like
let me explain English to you, Kassad. He is a better entry than Device is an AWPer. Thank you for critiquing me on my own language. Shall I speak in your shit version of Russian that you pretend is your language? There you go. You want to get fucking personal, bitch? You like that? I am the best in my role on this show. God Horse Podcast.
What are you even saying? Like, he's the best in his role. Yeah, he's the best entry in the team of Astralis. Is he the best player in Astralis? That's what I'm asking you. Tell me. Is that what you're saying?
No, because it's it's why I couched it like that in the whole first 5 minutes, Maui. Like, I was trying to make the point here is, Kassad, if they all do their jobs, I was implying, then for a start off, by the way, like, Device could be the best because he's an all-time great player. And you imagine if he's not, like, ill and, you know, he still wants to play, he could, like, grind and probably, and also he has the most powerful weapon, mate. Like, it's just easier to be better and have stats. And then the other obvious person, like I pointed out why I'm dissing them, is, mate, if you're Stown, you also play the fucking bait role. You know what everyone tells me? Blame FG. Just baits. Stown, you can't bait and get those numbers, mate. I've seen you try it and you're just not getting those numbers. So, in a way, Kassad, I know what you mean to clarify, but yes, he is the best in the sense that in his job, he is doing the best. And right
he's
now,
valuable,
listen,
valuable, yeah.
Yes, and right, put it this way, today, if you ask me today, he is the best player in Astralis. But my point is, if you were like asking like over the whole time they had the roster, or if you were making a team tomorrow, someone else might pick Device if he was super motivated, or if they had a different player, they might pick Stown to go with him or whatever. But so I can answer yes to both, but I'm specifically making it relative to his role, because I actually think most people look at him kind of like I described, like he's just the guy they picked up at the end when they had all the other stars and it wasn't working. And if you can tell, I'm almost, here's another point, Kassad. I'm almost certain this isn't the role he would pick. Like, I'm almost certain this is the sort of guy that actually should probably be more like the Yekindar playmaker, with someone else go first, then he comes in and cleans up all the... Like, I think he could be a star in a different team, mate. On this team, I think it's impossible the roles he has. So basically, I think he does the best you possibly could with his roles. I think his team scuffed, and I think most players in his team are actually underperforming. Maybe Device only a little bit, but the rest of it, I think, are massively underperforming. So in a way, he's the best, but I also think he's the best at his role in the team.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I know. I actually know what you mean. I actually know now, Maui, why it's literally an English language thing. But I'm not in a troll way. He thinks when I say the best at his role, that the others are trying to do his fucking role, Maui. That's actually what Kassad took from that. He doesn't know that I mean, like, if he's an entry, he is, oh, fucking hell. He's the best at his role relative to the scene in Astralis. Do you get that, Kassad?
Yeah,
Device isn't as good as Zemu, is he? Stare actually is the...
Stare is closer to
Dom than Device is to Zemu. There you go.
Yes, I get
it.
There you
go. The thing is, like, your problem is you have the simple body. You're necessarily aggressive, Kassad, and that puts people's backs up. It's all good. It's all good. Now we know what you mean.
The thing is, I can't really put my finger on the guy at all. Like, you say that he looks professional. I looked at his numbers, 105, 106 rating in the last 6 months. Impact is good. Like, he plays that shit role, especially in a team that's kind of... Well, it's shit. Like,
it is. Not a very good team. Astralis,
that is one of the most funded teams right now.
Sure.
One of the teams that should get the names, the previous heroic like lineup and all these things and Device on top of it.
By the way, I'd also love to know that, because I'd love to know how much salary he makes versus all the others too. If he's on a low amount, I'd be so sad. I hope he's on a half decent amount at least.
He is probably not.
I imagine he's
not. Never... the thing is, with them, it's hard to say, like, what his impact might be if the team was kind of having a better time as a team, you know, as players would be doing a better job in their roles, right? KDN and Stavn, and even though that Stavn was a more than a decent player in Heroic in CS:GO and whatever. Now, would he that does this seem that he is good just because Astralis is bad, or he's actually good? You know,
that's why it's tricky. That's why I also left the door open for the fact that I thought he could be a better player if he was in a different team.
Maybe he's just average, right? But he could be a better. I do agree that the vibe from him, when you look at him on the camera and all these things, like, he seems like a normal dude, like, leveled, you know, and he's 20 years old. The numbers are fine. I don't think he's the problem there, that's for sure. Like, he's not the guy who is problematic in that lineup. He can be the next important piece in the future Astralis lineup.
That's also what I'm saying.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I think that you must look at them replacing, you know, Devices and Cadian and whoever, right? That didn't fit the requests that you kind of had when you brought them from Heroic. And you would definitely keep Stare. I don't think I have anything, you know, to say, like, badly about him, but nothing really spectacularly good as well. So, in a way, when you look at it, like, what do you expect from Device? You expect, you know, greatness still, right?
Yeah.
You expect from Cadian to do, well, something.
Call anything. Some good rounds, yeah?
Yeah, one good round would be good, yeah. And Stad and Yabi are supposed to be the duo that kind of delivers a lot of numbers. So when you compare them to them, he is the best player in the team. Like, not just the way you explained, but in general.
Yeah. Right?
Like, you have to look at it. He has the shitty role. He does a decent job, more than a decent job, more than some other players on that role in other teams that are doing worse than...
Which, by the way, I do think is underrated, because I put it this way, when teams like are doing as badly as this, it's actually exactly the person who's forced in the hard roles I expect to do the worst. Or, and also, by the way, when you play with legendary players, like, it's everyone's dream in Denmark to play with Device. When you play with Device, but he's not really Device, he's like 80% or 75% Device, that'll also bring people's morale down. I don't feel like he's been affected like that, because it seems like he just keeps going.
Yeah. I mean, you put that guy on a pedestal and then you sit next to him and it's not the thing that you watched. It's completely different. And then if there is something personally, like if he's not the guy who kind of works hard as he did before, then you kind of, you lose respect for it. But for anyone, it doesn't have to be Device, or it can be just anyone else. But the thing is, like, what can they do right now? Like, do they keep him? Do they change players? What can they do? Like, they had to ride this out and then figure it out later. For Stare, I don't think there's going to be any issues, like, looking into his future. He can always land into a Danish team, because I think he proved enough. Being an entry in the teams like that are like this, if you have baiters behind you, people who are underperforming, not like trading, it's a most difficult role in the team. You're just getting slammed. Everywhere you go in, you're getting flashed, you're getting fucking smoked, you're getting headshotted, nobody is trading, people are complaining, then you go on the CT side, and then you're playing the anchor role or the soft anchor role, and people are just going into your side, that the oppers is going behind the smokes instead of in front of the smokes, nobody's helping you, and you just ended up being on, you know, constantly on HLTV forums and Reddits and need to be replaced, but they want to keep, like, you know, Device and other
that's
players.
That's why I made it my hot take, because I feel like people won't give this guy's credit. You know,
yeah, and I see where you are coming from. It's a decent take. I didn't expect this one. Okay. I agree. Yeah, I do agree.
After all that, you agree. Suddenly, I do know. I actually know now what semantically what threw him off there. But it's all good. Keep going that way. So Serbian, the language already got fucking took astray just because he annoyed me. So whatever. Keep going.
Fucking budget Russian. What the fuck was that?
Go on, man. Yeah, I mean, quickly, I feel like you guys covered a lot of everything I would have thought about that one. I mean, yeah, per role, I think he's really, really good. It is just between him and Device right now. I think Yabby was good at Cluj, but I haven't really seen that at other tournaments necessarily. I mean, Staun and Cadian clearly are not in the running for winning the best in role on Astralis. Like, because, you know, sometimes on teams we can say Alexi B is the best in role when it's hard to tell on Na'Vi who's the best, but the T sides are going really well. Yeah, I mean, the calling's really not all too sick for Astralis. I guess they're doing well right now they're doing okay right now at Bucharest, but like, nah, like, I like it. It's a good take. It gives props to a guy that is oftentimes overlooked, and a guy that... It's almost like unfortunate that Stare is peaking as a player when he's in this iteration of Astralis, because it feels like if he was just good 2 years ago, he would have been on that Heroic lineup instead of Tessus or something, and then he probably would be talked about in a similar breath as somebody like maybe even Stown, like, because he's legitimately that good. He just was kind of hard done by, he's hard done by the team sucking.
Who's next?
Well, the thing is, like you said, like he's in prime. He's like 20 years old. I think he can just do more. Ever, like, if he gets,
yeah, that's another thing. He's also young too. Yeah,
tumor that the Astralis lineup is, you know, just fucking crazy shit. But yeah, but the thing is, like, where we can take this one, Mao, you can take this one, or I can do it. Like, it's. I'm just reading the news, and I saw the G2 Hades
yeah,
loan.
Well,
okay,
I was gonna take it there.
I have a take that's tangential to it. It's not about Hades, but it's about G2. I'll just take it because I had two takes I could have gone with. I think I like this one more because it's more like it's a prediction and we can like see, does it come true? And yeah, I'm just putting my foot down on it finally. Snacks will be off this team within a year. Within a year, he's off the team. I've gone a lot.
I know why he's tilted. I know why he's tilted. Because the problem is, I think a year is too long. Am I right?
Like, that's 12 months.
It's,
yes,
too long. It's too long.
12 months. You know? Man.
Okay, okay. I'm
make it more aggressive.
You know what? You know what I actually.
Come on, make it more aggressive.
Okay, well, it's too easy. It's too easy to take. Okay, fine. All right. Within the year. Within the year.
So basically, in the rest of the 8 months left or whatever.
Yeah, within 2025.
Yeah, that's more reasonable.
Is it still too easy?
I don't think it's that hard to take. I know, I don't think it's that hard to take.
Picture a scenario where they fuck up the season.
I have another take.
Basically, it should happen, but that's the problem. I don't think it's that hard to take.
Just say the end of the season.
Unless you have a reason. Like, for example, if you think, for example, like maybe you think secretly G2 think he's awesome. By the way, I don't. Like, one, there was a recent news people might have seen where some, like, some guy who was, like, one of the fucking assistants on, like, Na'Vi claimed they were trying to get Boomich. So basically, I think essentially it's also implied G2 didn't really want him. He was just, like, a stopgap player. And just
okay, I have a hotter take that goes counter to what fans are saying.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a hotter... In a way, okay... The only bad move I've seen Pekka make in the past 3 years is getting Snacks. The only bad move.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
There.
He got Nexa! What are you talking about? Did you forget that?
I'm leaving.
He did get Nexa.
Actually, no. Well, Kassad got Nexa too.
Yeah,
the difference is he didn't have Modesty and like fucking millions of dollars, did he? So, by the way, fair play. That is a good joke from Kassad, I can't lie. He didn't pay him and he didn't pay the buyout. So, like, he's actually got you on that one, Mo. He's actually.
Fuck, you're right.
Boom, roasted. Okay,
right.
Next. Okay.
Actually, you're right.
Right, okay, right. Maui,
actually, you know,
level your game up. Right now, you're not the best in your role, mate. So level up right now. You're going to give us a better take.
Yeah,
come on. Reload. We're going to rewind. Come on.
I like the snacks thing. Just shorten the time. I like the snacks thing.
Okay.
Let's say the end of the season. Should be fine.
End of the season? Okay. You know what?
It's after the major, bit.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Within 4 months. Within four.
Yeah,
What's the off season? I go, okay, within 4 months, Snacks is off the team. There. Okay. I'll go. I made it even hotter. All right. I feel like that's now though that you guys baited me to do that. It's like, how are you going to, are you going to disagree now that I made it like hotter? Cause it's just like,
no, but the thing is, like, I'll ask you this. Do you really see Snacks past July in this team?
No. Okay. So let me just give the reasonings. The duration is okay. I'll do that. Yeah. Within 4 months, he's off the team. Okay. But the reasoning is more kind of, I think, the interesting part of this. One, first and foremost, he's not a great IGL. You know, that's just flat out. Like, they have a decent, I'll be real, they have a decent strat book, but it feels like they're just calling out of spawn a lot of the time, and like any IGL could really do that. And it doesn't feel like there's like really in-depth mid-rounding. In fact, when they try to mid-round, I feel like G2 looks the worst on T-side. It's usually just really quick sight hits and explosive sight hits, which is why Dust2 is their favorite map. They just like getting on catwalk and then just swinging. Like, that's practically the extent of a good G2 round. It's just like, take the most bare minimum map control into a sight hit. Inferno, it's the exact same thing. You take banana and then you just hit, you exec B. And the other thing is that number two, I think by now Hunter should just be the IGL. That's just kind of, that's my,
that's
take. I think Hunter,
that's,
there's no,
that's the thing. That
okay
was,
well yeah that, the
was
reason
supposed to be also my take, but I gave it up like 2 days ago when
okay.
I was thinking about it, but it's a valid take. I like it, go for it. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Hunter, he already calls the CT sides, apparently. He's in active positions a lot of the time. And I just think that, I think he just needs to bite the bullet on trying to be a top 20 player, because he's had an okay run of form for the last month and a half. But in reality, like, it's okay, Hunter. If you're an IGL that puts up a 0.92 rating, I'm going to be completely satisfied because I don't see... He's not as much of a hindrance individually as Snacks. He actually will play the active positions like... A lot of modern IGLs now, you know, they play like connector on Mirage, like Apex or Shuhei did that. I think Hunter plays like short or something on Mirage, for example. You know, he can play spots where he's just in the fray. And to me, he's just more of a leader. Like, he actually... Like, I think he doesn't... he didn't buy into this in his own personality. But people listen to him. People trust him more. I put more stock into what he says in a post-game interview than anybody on the team practically at this point. Like, he's very candid. He just seems to have those qualities. I just respect him more in general, and I feel like that's if I'm respecting him more throughout the muddied sequence of events we've seen G2 go through, I feel like that should pervade to other people on the team and even the management behind him too.
Yeah, fuck the management. But the thing is, like, he is definitely more trusted than anybody else right now in that team. Considering Monesi's situation and, you know, Snacks being the IGL, well, he's not supposed to be that IGL anymore. He was never supposed to be the IGL in that G2. He was never supposed to be in G2 at all. He was there just because they didn't have anybody else at the moment. And they couldn't get anyone else, from what I understand, in the past, whatever. That's why they didn't get anyone else.
And as far as I know, they knew they were going to lose Nico anyway. So it was like that season was almost the right
thing. And the thing is, like, they had a Boomish option, but I don't know what the fuck happened there. We saw that there was
that would have been
Boomish,
cool.
Whatever.
That's spicy.
That would have been so interesting. Cool.
Would have been interesting because Boomish is aggressive and he doesn't, you know, he's not afraid of calling something like crazier, and he knows how to like adapt to the teams that
and
he's
playing. And
he'd
have Nico and Monesi, mate. That would be
and
sick.
He would have Nico and Monesi. That was my last.
That'd be
point.
Really good.
But the thing is, like, it never happened, and I just especially now because look at the lineup now. We have Monesi leaving, Snacks being there, and the three people. So Hunter, Heavygod, and Malbs, right? Heavygod is potentially good. Malbs can be good. Hunter should be the IGL because you said it nicely. People trust him in the team. Community trusts him. Like, he's a level-headed guy. He works hard. He does a lot of things. He has the experience in playing big events, and he can definitely take that territory. If Apex did it, and he's successful in it, Hunter can do it too. So I don't see why he doesn't do it. I didn't really speak to him lately because of this whole thing. And now, to get back to the latest news, they're linking G2 with Hades as a new offer. Out of all people. Now, it doesn't say if it's a loan or just a straight-up like a straight-up shot for him playing. Whatever it is, it's terrible. Like, I like that kid, that Hades kid. He's a good kid. He played in Ents. He had a relatively successful run right there. Then it was downward trajectory from there in 9 and Monty and all this, and then he tried to be the IGL himself, and he's all right for those kind of, you know, things, but in a G2 kind of hot situation right now, putting him there is going to be disaster for both sides, to say the least.
Here's the thing, Kassad, to me, I know some other people have this take, but I immediately just thought this. To me, remember, the key part about the Monesi deal that's crazy is that it's not at the end of the season. He's going to go for the fucking Austin Major and he's going to be in Falcons.
Yes, exactly.
So to me, I actually don't think this is even a real signing, mate. I think this is just like, you can play with us until we figure out who the other opera is. That's just my guess, but that's what it looks like from the outside. So I don't think it's like a real signing, in my opinion. I don't think they think Hades is the replacement for Monesi, put it that way.
It really does.
I hope not, at least. I certainly hope not.
From the outside. Like, they're going to get somebody who can, they, you know, who can, they can pay for a loan for a few months. Probably nothing expensive. They got a lot of money for Monesi, so they can use something to loan, do what they can do, keep the core of Hunter, Malps, and Heavygod, right? Try to maybe get a Hunter into the IGL role, get two players with an op and a player, obviously. The rumor has, I don't know that if the rumor is true, this is not confirmed, but the rumor is like they send the bid for Kiyosuke. They send an offer after they sold this guy, Monesi. Now, that's the rumor that's going on. I don't know if it's true, so that's just some
I don't hate that move.
That I got, yeah. I don't hate it too if his English is all right.
It's kind of a Monesi move again. I don't mind that. She's a good guy.
They can pay a lot because they got a lot. But the thing is, like, they need an op after that. That's the problem. They don't have an op. Like, op can be a problem. For me, Sampaio can be an option. He is definitely a person who can deliver the next 2 years, like, of his career. And then you'll see. Other than that, I don't know. I have no idea. But that brings me to my... Actually, Duncan, you have the reply to that. I was going to take with my...
I don't have too much on this. Like, basically, I think... Pretty sweet. I think, like I said before, I actually think one of the toughest things... You know what? In the future, I can't promise this, but I don't know if he will ever himself do any kind of interview with someone else about this. But if I can, I will actually try and do some sort of content. Maybe it'll be a talk show and we can all talk to him. Maybe I'll do an interview. I'll actually try and get Pekka to do something. Because here's the thing. I will just say this. I have actually spoken to him in the past behind the scenes about G2. And basically, one of the reasons I haven't gone as hard at him as I maybe did early on when they had like that roster with like Huxley and Nexon. It was like it could never have won a tournament. And then Monty had to do like simple 2018 shit. Because when I actually heard some of the behind the scenes, it was that shit. Kassad, you know this, where it's like all the players you don't like that they sign aren't even, it's not that they're not even the first choice. They might be like the fifth choice, or they might be like the one that you do when all the other ones say no, or where you have someone you're about to sign and then the deal doesn't go through and there's some sort of a snag, or the price goes up at the end, or someone else, or even worse, you're about to get someone and then someone else signs that guy. And so as far as I know, a lot of those moves were like temporary moves where sometimes either the team was just good enough because of Nico Monacy, they just kept them, or the joke is, as like happened even in the Malbs ones or the Huxley ones, sometimes they just won tournaments too, when it was that thing of like, well, you've got to give people a bit more time. So I'm not as harsh before. It's just if you look at the big picture, I think it looks terrible because you've very rarely ever signed bona fide top players. Like, the joke is literally FaZe, who I've heard don't even actually like spend massive money. FaZe has had loads of like HLTV top 20 players just come and join their team. G2 never does. You become HLTV top 20 on G2. They don't sign a massive player who's still really good though at that time. Like, it's one of the areas that's kind of weird, especially because we're talking about the era when they had Nico and Monacy, like the ultimate two stars that everyone would want to play with if you're in the other roles. So to me, there was always something off about that. So I will certainly critique how they've GM'd, but like basically, I think the snacks thing was just sort of like a temporary thing, and I think it was definitely not their first choice. It's implied by this thing about Boomich and some of the other players they tried to get. So I think not only will he be off, I think even they're going to kick him out at this point in time, mate. I think as soon as Monacy leaves, there's no reason to keep him. Like, it's not even that he's like, here's the problem as well. This is the same thing with Taz. I don't think these people are terrible at their roles. I think they're just inappropriate to be in what on paper should be like one of the best teams in the world. Like, if G2 plays it right, especially when they had some of these starts, they should have been like a lock to be top three the whole time. Like, the point is just like, the question is, are you 3, 2, or 1? They had times where they were probably like the fifth or like the seventh best. And right now, by the way, even with Monacy, they look like they're the fucking like 10th best team, ignoring the opening day of this tournament or whatever. So to me, I do think it should happen. I think it's just obvious. And also, going forwards, I think not only have fans figured out this isn't the move, but like, again, who the fuck wants to have an old ass, not that great IGL with no stars? I mean, Melbs hasn't quite yet become like an Eco Monacy, so you haven't really got like one man carry. Who the fuck wants that if you're a G2 fan or G2? You have to start over. Well, you have to basically say, by the way, you can start off with these three. These are a good three to start with. You just say Hunter's IGL, Heavy God, you can get your roles going, get into it, and then Melbs, you're my like star rifler. As we're saying, then you bring in a fucking actual AWPer. Mate, you're not that far from having, again, like a real top five team, like a team that's actually good, could do some things. So I actually think it's not a super spicy take, but it's a good, as long as you make it like for the season, it's a good take. The problem is, if you'd have made it for a whole year, like the joke is, I think even Stacks would be like, yeah, no shit, I definitely will be here in a year. Like, even he would sort of know that. I also feel like, actually, I'll give him credit, by the way. One thing I do appreciate about Stacks is, by the way, when Stacks was a player, Maui, he absolutely was spicy. There's a bunch of times he insulted me on Twitter and tried to say people know nothing about CS. He actually has never done that to any of us, he notices, as an IGL, which I actually think, unironically, it's not that I don't think he has confidence in himself, but I think even he knows he's not doing an amazing job and he doesn't think he's fucking glaive 2018. I think in a weird way, he's sort of actually quite chill on that topic and he just kind of just does his job and goes, look, it's that thing of like, if someone offers you a great job, you as the person have to take it. Doesn't mean you're going to be good at it though, but you'll take it. If someone offers you a fucking $1 million contract, you go, yeah, of course, like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, so he would definitely be gone. I'm saying that he shouldn't go and like fire himself, you're not talking,
of course,
about
not exactly.
Like, the thing is, like, as
I get it, if he wants to stay, it's just I don't want him to stay, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah,
like that,
exactly.
Yeah, of course.
That's the thing. My take was, go.
I mean, just briefly, I think Snacks has done a weirdly good job where I remember him being, and really the entire VP team being, so much more fiery when they were at the top of the scene. But now I think he also knows if he makes an enemy out of us more so than he already is by just kind of being mediocre at his job, it's just like, it's just not going to do you any favors at all.
Because like, here's the thing, like, you know this. For Reddit plebs, if he had have done the hooksy to Kassad to you on that desk, they'd have been fucking worshipping this guy, mate. Like, showering him with fucking, like carrying him out on their shoulders like he was a genius or something. Even though he was just to burn you. But he didn't do it. He actually just fucking just chilled. It's all good.
Yeah. I kind of respect it more that he's not doing it. Because like, he definitely knows. He's definitely online. You know, he sees these things.
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously he sees these things and, like, they're just because they're true, man. It's not like we are making up stories and lying to people. Yeah. Like, it's happening right there. Like, we have eyes. Like, it's
well,
like,
he's also been pretty good sport. He's been a good sport in post game interviews and stuff.
That's the other thing as well. You notice he's never talked to anyone in those interviews. Like,
no, he's actually just really.
There's plenty of people are bad at their role in the game that shit talk all the time in those interviews and make it sound like you're inventing stuff, you know.
I think of the stuff, like, the difference between, like, when I talked about him versus when I talked about Nafany, and Nafany went so fucking hard at me, and now he has no fucking job. He has no job. He has no job anymore. And then Snacks does it, and it's like, all right, I just don't even really want to keep this up, because it's like, it's not really a back and forth. It's just like, it feels like bowling after a while. Like, it really does.
But yeah, the fun shit was crazy, and still crazy. But anyway, my take would be that I'm just going to connect to the GMing of G2.
Okay.
Like, he has been the worst GMing since, like, what, 2020, since DG or whatever the fuck was it, right? Has to be. Like, it's even worse than fucking that Mavericks guy who traded Luka Doncic for fucking...
Oh, the Nico, whatever his name is, okay.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, right? Like, the thing is, they have to look at it, like, all the old lineup, the successful lineup, not really that old, right? When you look at it. Ocelot is the one who brought Monesi, yeah? Ocelot is the one who bought Hunter and Nexa from Crazy.
And Nico Ocelot and Alexi B got all the great,
I was going to say, Ocelot was the one who brought Nico from FaZe.
Yep.
And Alexi...
He was killing it, mate. If you don't know, by the way, in real life, guys, I believe Ocelot is a fan of Real Madrid. And you can tell why. He was trying to make G2 the Real Madrid of CS. It's obvious, yeah.
He was
all the stars.
Bringing all these players. Yes. And now the next set of people in the fucking organization... Like, I'm not saying it's only Pezza, right? The guy who has the title of general manager. It's not his call 100%. For people out there thinking that he's making 100% of the calls, he isn't.
Remember that CEO guy, the guy who came from Riot, even was bragging in that interview about who they could keep and stuff.
Listen, it's him. It's a little bit of Pezza. He's not like zero like voice. That's the Julian guy. There is more people involved in the decision making. Right. So the whole like structure of this plebs is there. Who managed to lose in a space of 6 months two superstar generational players. I was going to say franchise players, right?
Yeah, for people that's totally legit.
To lose them for what? For a couple of $1 million that you can make anyway. You lose Nico to Falcons and now you're going to lose Monesi. Monesi could have stayed in your org for the next 8 years.
Absolutely.
If you played it well.
If you notice, it's why I always say, Kassad, the thing that I always find alarming is people never ask this question. You know, they all say to Nico, why would you leave Monesi? And then when Monesi's gone, they go, why would you go to Falcons? My question is, why do these great players, all-time why are they wanting to all, like, essentially the only rule they all have is I'll never be in G2. Like, that should be really alarming to everyone if you're a G2
fan.
They're
all going for money, then.
But the difference is, if you do a good job, here's the thing, Kassad, we're just talking these people through the internet. They're meeting these people every fucking event. If you can't sit down and explain to that guy your plan for the future and make him want to buy in, that's a bad sign to me. You know what I mean? Like,
have a plan.
If you talk
to us
in the right plan, like, you know, if you give me some time, I'll get you this IGL, and like, don't worry, after the major, I'll get you this guy. Then can we get him to buy in? Remember, players generally, aside from the Falcons thing, because you get mega paid, players generally don't want to leave orgs, because it's a hassle to leave and fucking have a new fan base and have to be in a new team, and oh, it's a nightmare. You have all expectations. Everyone wants to be in one team for your start and just have everyone build around you and you stay there.
The thing is, like, yeah, they throw money at the fucking players, they just go, because they're stupid kids, like, they go for money. Nico, he went for the money, he got the money, now he's paying the price in Falcons. They've been trashed by Gamer Legion. And just to clarify to people, before I go back to G2, my tweet about the salaries, I'll just clarify it for people so they can actually fucking understand, because I have seen so many fucking things, that's probably not accurate, it's fucking accurate. Because 15 months ago, Nico's salary was supposed to be like above €60,000. And that's 15 months ago. His value went up. He was a top three player. He's fucking, you know, he had an amazing year. Inflation as well. Let's add 10 fucking percent.
Oh, I did an unbelievable salary bit, yeah.
So let's say it was 62 15 months ago plus 10%, 68 point something, right? 69, 70. Make it fucking 70. PR, the kid from Gamer Legion, he was supposed to play in Bleed. He in Mouse Academy or Mouse NXT, he had 2.5k. In Bleed, he was supposed to get 3.5k. And that was the deal, like, made. Then Mouse said they want to keep him for the major, whatever, right. sub spot. And then Bleed just imploded and scammed everyone, but whatever. And then he went to Gamer Legion. You think he got more than 3.5 or something crazy? I don't think so. Towson, you think he has a fucking 15k salary? You think that ZTR has fucking crazy salary? Slant got bought out from Endpoint for over $100,000. You think he got crazy salary? No. All these people, when you combine, they don't have 30k. I don't know about Rez, because he was in NIP for like 7 years. He had like a 20k salary or something.
True.
But the thing is, he probably has less now. And then combine all of that, and then, you know, you have all these people in Falcons making all this money. Yeah. They get 13-13 more. But that's just to clarify the tweet and all this shit.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, people are, you know, went for the money, now they're paying the price, in a sense, like, you know, that came with going to Falcons. Falcons, they don't have any fucking fans. They don't have fans. That's an org with money. That's fucking nothing. They fans, they go with the players. They came with the Nico. They will come with Monesi. Nobody cheers for Falcons. Not like people cheer for G2.
Yeah, true.
There is a legitimate army of G2 fans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Same was for Cloud9, FaZe, all other, Vitality.
Even
all
Astralis,
these
yeah. All these orgs.
Even
yeah.
Astralis.
Yeah.
They have army of fans. But GM was so mismanaged, the G2 was so mismanaged in the last couple of years. They managed to sell in the space of 6 months two franchise players, two generational
yes.
players.
Yes.
And now they are fucking left with Hades and Snacks to go into the Austin Major. The only kind of silver lining there that they have that can kind of turn the ship around, in a sense, even though it's still a fucking disaster, losing Monesi and Nico in a space of 6 months just for a couple of billions, which you can do so much more with those players, offer them, sacrifice fucking another division if you need to, offer more money to Monesi to stay. Sacrifice it, because he's going to bring you more. He is a superstar kid that can be, that will dominate CSC for the next 10 years. Nico has another 3-4 years in him. You bought Malbs, who is a good player. You have Hunter turning into Nigel, and then you have a perfectly solid lineup. But they chose money over it, the same way Nico chose money in Falcons. Like I said, the silver lining is the fact that they have money, and they have the core, somewhat of a core of Malbs, Heavy God, and Hunter, right? Like you said, or Maui said, I don't know who was it, decent, good opera, and they are a buyout for a talented Monesi-like type of deal can bring them back into relevance. This is not it, and it will not be it if the Hades comes in next. Maybe they get some sort of a half run on the major, but they will not be taken seriously by anyone. And that's the fault of the people behind the lineup, not the lineup itself, right? From what I understand, they didn't offer at the beginning, they didn't offer Monesi contract. It was later and later and later, and he refused, and then it was back, you know, back and forth, back. But it was already too late. Do you think Ocelot would allow this to happen?
No way. It's even his philosophy. No. He always used to make sure if you go, you're always under contract. So it's his choice where you go and how much you
yes.
go for. Yeah, of course.
And G2 has put themselves in a position to have 6 months left on the contract for Monesi. Otherwise, he goes free. But Monesi is a kid. We talked about this. He's a kid. He's probably like, doesn't use his brain. I would stay.
By the way, they're
really want the money.
Look, you could actually even argue, because that is a hot take. G2's actually lucky Falcons exist. Because if Falcons didn't exist and they are desperate to not be
somebody
shit anymore,
would be really lucky. Yeah.
Monesi would probably just leave on a free at the end of his contract and you get nothing. You know, or you get at the end, you wait until there's like 2 weeks left on his contract and you go, there's 100k, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, that would probably happen.
Also, I will.
This would be like what you were criticizing with FaZe, you know, where they lost all those stars for nothing. It would be like that in G2, I think, if Falcons didn't exist. It's just, they're lucky Falcons is there.
So they can actually pay the money.
Yeah,
any smarter org.
Yeah, exactly.
Any smarter org would just go to fucking Monesi and say, listen, there is 400k yes. for you on January 1st.
Yep, absolutely.
Pay to your fucking account when you sign the contract.
You know the example, Cassad. That's literally what Real Madrid is doing to Trent Alexander-Arnold now. They were like,
exactly.
We'll offer a joke about, but we're just saying that to show. Like, wait until your contract, you can be free. And then we pay you the money. You become rich.
You know yeah. who did that in CS? You know who did that in CS? Nobody knows this. Or nobody remembers. That Cengiz guy from House. Okay. I don't know if you remember the ex-owner.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He is a character. He's a good dude. Yeah, I like yeah. that dude a lot.
Okay.
He signed Oscar from Hellraisers yes. to Mouse ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, like, yeah, in September, Oscar is coming in. Because his contract was expiring and he just signed him as a free agent yes. from September yep. 1st.
I actually do remember this, Cassad, because famously, when they knew Simple was leaving to go back to Na'Vi,
yeah.
that was the player me and Nico came up with. Like, we should just get Oscar. He's like Nico Light, isn't he? And then when we went to him, Oscar even was like, oh, I would actually come, but I've already agreed to join Mouse Biscuits. I've already done. The deal's done. You're right. That's actually a very smart deal. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing that you remember that. I mean, not like you kind of figured it out that it wasn't Falcons. Like, nobody would be insane. No,
everyone would wreck this team. Yeah, they would look stupid as fuck.
They would just go for free, and then all of these people behind the team would be fired because they lost money.
Yes.
See, imagine, like, they bought him for 600, they're going to sell him for, what, 2 million probably? Million and a half, something like, I don't even know. Somebody's reporting 2.5 billion, but I don't know if that's accurate.
Sure.
Overall, they have been poorly mismanaged by this. The kind of structure of people behind.
Yeah, great.
They had so much things that Ocelot left for them, you know, in that team, and he was managing it. He laid out he brought Nico from fucking Mouse. He paid whatever, like 300-400k for Hunter and Nexa back in the crazy days. He paid 600k, took that risk. Even though everybody was criticizing it for Monessi, and now where is it now? All of it fucking fell apart, sold out. So yeah.
I think that the time frame is important here because there's been some pretty awfully GM'd rosters in the last couple of years that really jumped out at me when you said that. First and foremost, NIP for like. Like 2021 to 2024 was just complete train wreck.
Yes.
Beyond that, everything past the initial lineup that Evil Geniuses had was also just disaster.
Since EG?
Okay. Since EG, then I think it would probably have to be NIP was probably the worst one. Because I looked at it while you were talking at like some of the moves they had. So kind of after the device saga, they got Brolin. In March of 2022, they benched him about a year and a half later as they won nothing. Within 4 months, he won ESL Pro League. They got Alexi B in September of 2022. They benched him 9 months later, and he won a major with Na'Vi less than a year after they benched him. They promoted a wealth of players that nobody really remembers, like... They had Mistum, they had Blue Phoenix, they had Maxter, they had Esetag and Config for God knows how long, you know, like 3 years they had those guys. Like sticking with the core of Esetag, Config, and Hedrick instead of Brolin and Alexi B has to be one of the biggest fumbles, knowing what we know now about all those players. So I'm just going again. Yes, G2 has had some really bad misses too, but I think NIP takes the cake for me for just like how bad it can really get, because it's the exact case point example of every time they zigged, they zagged. Every time they should have zigged, they zagged. It's just like they have like almost binary options and they always are choosing zero instead of one. It's like it was actually... generationally bad for how they went. And also even then, like, I don't know how Gamer Legion got Rez. I mean, to me, Rez was always like the one consistent factor for NIP. Now he looks like Gamer Legion's probably second best player. Him and PR are both really good. And
you know, so that award they have him. In the NBA and the NFL, where it's like most improved player, he would win that, or like comeback player of the year. Rez would win that, you know what I mean?
Comeback player,
yeah, he's actually
it's crazy that you would say he was the most consistent, like in a sense that he was there, like present. Then, yeah, he was consistently there, But he wasn't delivering, he wasn't, 2007.
That's also because they obviously let him do shit roles, didn't they? Like, I can tell he just... I know what Maui means. Like, his floor was pretty decent for most years.
Yeah, his floor was pretty high.
Talking about rest?
Yeah. His floor was pretty high.
I don't give a fuck about this, like, they're giving him shit roles. What, 7 years? You get shit roles for 7 years? You don't know how to speak up? They changed 7 IGLs, 55 players, and you still get shit roles? Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
If anything, you're making the case for Maui. That's a really badly run org. Yeah, they had this one player.
Yeah, I was going to get there.
You're making his case for him.
No. I was going to get there and say, like, they're up there as well. Okay. Like, they just didn't have... When you compare the talents they have, you know, against the talents that G2 had.
That's what the irony of all is this, Kassad. You've actually fallen into the trap I avoided by what I said in my first point. If you'd have just said, relative to the players and budget they had, G2 was the worst GM, you would have won the argument. The problem you have is Maui's sort of right. Well, like, in fact, he's not even that bad. Like, I've always said this. The real problem that fucking... I can't even remember his bloody name now. What was the name of that fucking guy from North? I forgot his name now. The fucking Jonas Gundersen. There you go. Jonas Gundersen.
Okay.
Right? The real mistake he made was, as Maui said, it wasn't even some of the players he signed. It's that he zigged all the time when he should have zagged. Like, think of this. In the org, technically, they just weren't all on the roster. He had, at the exact same time, literally, Brolan, Device, and Alexi B. But they never all played in the server at the same time, technically. Like something mad like that. Like,
yeah.
Or maybe Alexi. I think it was roughly that order.
I think Brolin and Alexi were maybe.
I think
Brolin
was benched
together
at one point, and then I know Device wasn't. Yeah. So, but on paper, if you have those three, we'd say he's doing a great job.
Device never played with them.
That could have been insane. Yeah. He was inactive for a year. So like, that would have been insane, but it just never was all at the same time. Here's why I think the G2 one, if you do it as Kassad should have done and said relative to their money, here's why it's worse though, Maui. Because there's actually like very logical reasons why those players couldn't play together. Device was out for a year with an illness where he never informed people month to month whether he was coming back. Brolan just wanted to leave eventually because it was so shit. They never put players around Alexi B, so he looked bad. The difference is there's reasons why that one. I actually think the G2 one is worse though. Because remember, G2 also kicked Alexi B. Like G2, if they'd have actually had any vision, could have just stuck with it. And remember, that was young Monacy. Mate, can you imagine if when Monacy had actually come into his own, Nico was already insane. Hunter got really good in 2023. If you'd have had Alexi B in 2023 with that roster, well, JK, you would have fucking cooked, bro. Imagine the championships you could have started. That could have been an all-time great team.
I see your re-raise, and I'm all in. Astralis.
They
like,
win.
I feel like Astralis can't lose here. Like, you missed 4 majors in a
they've
row.
Had a lot
like,
of, they've had a lot of HLTV players, too, as well, mate. They've had a lot of HLTV top 20.
Exactly.
And they've won a lot, very little.
I like the take in general, because I think it deserves to be shouted out how poorly G2's gone, even despite the fact that I tried making a knee-jerk take about like Pekka.
But it's weird, Maui. I've said this before. The saddest thing is, aside from Carrigan, they've had nearly all the best Danish players of this like generation. They've just fucked it up. You're right. They haven't even won a trophy, mate. Well, I'm sure they won some bullshit small thing I don't care about. Not like a real one, obviously.
I don't even know the last thing they have won in general. Like, I mean,
nobody cares. That's why. Who is next?
Okay. A problem is, I'll have to ask you on this one. You know what? Fuck it. I was going to do like one of those ones that you said, ah, just a good take. And fuck that. I'm just going to do all hot takes. So here's the hot take for you. So you know now... Right, there's a problem right now, which is... And that, by the way, this is also a really bad sign, which is... I think right now, Monacy and G2 and Falcons, because they both know this deal is going to happen. So it's like, who even gives a shit about this? Like, essentially, we're waiting for the real team. Like, this doesn't count. This doesn't count. Lol. Like, wait for the real squad. They're all just looking like they're phoning it in. They all just look like, wait, look, can we just skip forward? If it was their dream, they'd be like in that movie Click, and they'd just press fast forward on the remote and just get to him on the team already and forget about this tournament. So right now, because Falcons is terrible, and they're probably going to come fucking last at like Cluj or whatever, as I speak, Bucharest. And by the way, I don't care what people say. This might age badly. I don't care. G2's not winning this tournament. I don't give a flying fuck what you think. Like, as soon as they get to the playoffs, they'll be pounded out as a fraud. They will even lose, by the way, to lesser teams. Even FaZe will probably beat them head in a playoffs, etc. Right? So here's what I will say. I do think Falcons getting Monacy will be a big game changer though. So if everyone thinks that everyone's doing the same thing as when Nico joined, they're all just like, you're just going to be trapped in hell and it's going to be shit and we're all going to laugh at you. No, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to say they're going to be number one. Falcons with Monacy will make it to top 4 at the Austin Major.
Top 4? Yeah.
Top 4. Did you say fucking top four?
Yeah.
Based on what?
It's all Kick Show! He hasn't even played a fucking game with him yet! I can't possibly...
The
way he takes boiler control on Inferno is going to really revolutionize the whole...
What aspect of the fucking game?
He's an insane opener.
Outside the fucking shooting, they run their T-sides.
First of all, I have already seen Nico and Morrissey play together. They are both insane. They have no overlap. And by the way, they are both really good. Here's another thing. They are two of the most like self-directed stars I've ever seen in CS. Like, they're the guys where... I don't think they should actually be the IGLs, but like they're doing like mini IGL from their roles, clearly. It's just obvious to me. They're not being directed. No one's using Monacy as a turret. No one's telling Nico when to go. They're doing their own shit. So one, I think that both of them will get there and just frag out. I think they will both be dope. I actually think Tessis, look, now he went too far months earlier when his stats were too high, but he is a good player and he does seem like he's a soldier and does what he's told. Magisk, look, I actually think Magisk is the guy, by the way, who has to look out. That fucking CS royalty tag is going to go off you real soon if you're shitting this teammate. Like, but if he can just basically, you don't even have to be good. Just do like the odd clutch play, play it all right in a big match. And then I'm not the biggest Kixon fan, but mate, if you have any talent and you are supposed to be this good loose IGL, again, we've already had this test with Snacks and Huxley. If you can't win championships with fucking Nico and Monacy, you are a bomb IGL. Like, or you are average as fuck. Like, if this will be the test it kicks in. If you are actually good, you better fucking cook now. So the reason why I say top four instead of like win the majors, because one, Vitality exists, and then two, they won't have had enough time, will they? Like, I think it's unreasonable to think they should be at their best immediately for Austin. But I think Austin, just off those two players, I think they can do it. So if you think of the other teams out there, once you go past the Vitalities and the Spirits, like, if you have Nico Morrissey, why couldn't you beat Na'Vi? If you have Nico Morrissey, why couldn't you best FaZe or Eternal Fire or Mongol? I think it's not as crazy it takes out. The reason I think the hot part of the take for me is people think they're going to be... People keep treating every past Falcons lineup like when good players join, it's going to stay the same level. Like, surely Morrissey improves Falcons, you know what I mean?
I would even just say like this. In fact, with the player quality that's there and how it's proven that Nico and Monacy should reach that deep in a major, then I would just go back to Kassad's take last week. If they don't get top four, Zonic needs to be fired.
All right, re-raise. They're going to make the final and lose to Vitality in the final of the Austin Major. There you go.
Then everybody keeps their jobs and everybody's happy and everything makes sense. But if they don't get top four,
there you go.
Just Zonic needs to be cut. Zonic needs to be cut.
There you go. Come on, Kassad, you're ready to go off. Come on.
But the thing is, what pisses me off the most is the fact that, like...
you know what really grinds my gears? Go on.
We are considering Falcons being in top four of the finals.
Finals now. Finals.
Finals. Well, let's say top four and the final, whatever, right? Let's cover it all. As a hot take... Literally $1 billion later.
True.
And we are considering that a fucking hot take?
No, I know what you mean, Kassad.
Like, that's what's pissing me off.
The football analogy is just being like, hey, Chelsea should be top four this season. It's like, mate, with what they spent, they should be winning this Premier League. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
true.
Next 10 years.
It's true.
Like, $1 billion later, and they're like, we are gonna fucking... I have a good thought that they're gonna be
true, when you put it like that, that is good. Okay, when you put
even
it like
if
that.
If they fucking win it, like, it shouldn't be enough.
Okay. Maui, he's actually done it. And his fucking superpower, his latent superpower, his X-Men DNA gene has activated, and he's already gone and done it with the best take of the show. Are you ready? I'll connect together all of his takes. If they don't make the Austin Major final, they should the next day fire Zonic. Signed Kassad, 2025, because I just love the idea. Kassad is mental enough that making a major final with a new lineup would still get you fired. Like, do you agree with that? Is that take good enough for you, Kassad?
Yeah, absolutely. I fucking, like, everybody's acting like... That's going to be the fucking worst thing.
It's so nuts.
People are going to be like, oh my God, they're so good. Like, you know, it's so crazy. It's like $1 billion later. Like, fuck you. Like, it's like... I mean, it's stupid. But are they going to get the top four? Let's look at the quality of the other players. Like, you said, like, Nico plus Monacy, we saw it before.
Yeah.
We saw this and blah. Like, Nico Monacy played with these other three players, right? When you compare those players right now, and the coach, whoever was it, like, where do you rank them there? Is it the help enough to push them to top four of the finals? Like, are the players good enough to push two of them enough, right?
I think so.
They're going to carry their asses off, whatever, right? But it still needs to be three more. Like in G2, it was who? Barbs, Hunter plus Snacks, right? Or, yeah. And Uxie, whatever. JKS back in the day. Now it's going to be Tessus, fucking Magisk, and Kixen. Kixen, you said it nicely. If you don't deliver with this one, get the fuck out. Nobody fucking cares. Yeah. You should be fired. Fucking sued. But God knows what else. But the thing is, like, he has perfect pieces. When it comes to Magisk, he's like, I don't know what the fuck is he doing.
No one knows, man. No one knows.
Nobody fucking knows. Easy the fucking... I can't wait for this Dexter story that he's preparing or whatever the fuck.
You think he's just going to go he's off because he fucked him, you think?
I mean, knowing him, I don't think it's that far off. Like, he's going to... He said it, he's going to say it. And if he doesn't say it, I'm going to call him out.
Okay.
Straight up. Straight up. Are you going to say it or are you going to be a bitch about it? But I do think he's not a bitch. I think he's a guy who will say it.
Okay.
Now, if he's going to say the truth or not, I don't know. But, like, he's going to say something. And then we have... Who do we have? Tessus, yeah. The best Ryan was prayer or fucking...
One of the best.
How did you call him?
What a fuck. One of the best.
What the fuck shit take that was.
He and still then has you a good spray. Him. He might make bad decisions sometimes, but he's got a good spray.
Yeah, sometimes. Now, like... Which side do we look at it from? Are those three guys are going to help these two guys? Or Nico and Monesi are going to play so well they're going to make other people play better? Other people play better. You know, that's maybe a recipe for a good run at the major. One of those two, right? Let's say Nico and Monesi have a great, you know... But that's like an assumption that they have an amazing tournament. They're not going to have the teamwork. They're not going to have the chemistry. They're not going to have all these things. The structure, because we saw that timeout. Can you call something? Who? Me? I don't know. You? Whatever. They're not going to have any of that. Right? So they have to rely that the winning...
He's fucking happier about seeing that timeout than all the fans are, mate. He was eating that shit up like... Oh,
yes.
Finger looking good. Oh, can I get... Please, sir. Can I get... Like Dave Chappelle, I mean, can I get more of them timeouts, please? Hey, Blas, can I get more of them timeouts, please? Y'all got any more?
Fucking crazy. And then we are assuming they're going to have like a perfect tournament. What if Monesi has a bad tournament? Like this one. What if Nico doesn't have a good tournament? Are they going
to
make
then top? They should all be fired. Everyone in the world should be fired who doesn't live up to your expectations.
Boys. No, there is a question of are they starting in stage one or stage two, Maui? You probably know
that. Why is Kassad like the fucking Donald Trump of CS? Like, you're fired. Get out.
I think stage two. I don't think they're that high up. I think they're stage two.
If they go to stage two, then it's going to be... You mean stage one?
Yeah, stage two. Or, yeah, stage two.
So they're in a better spot.
So they stage have three to win is the best. Stage three is the best spot.
What is the fucking stage one, then?
Stage one is what all the MRQ teams make it to.
Okay.
Ah, so stage two is the actual first stage. And then, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was like four stages.
Corpium, then what happens is they farm the mid teams, you get the game flowing, and then they hit that final stage hard, and then they're flaming at that point.
Yeah, can't fucking, stop. Yes.
And it's only because Vitality exists in the final that they don't win the major. You know,
yeah, just
can't beat the Generous. Because I don't want to counter my own hot take from the past episode, so Vitality has to be the greatest team of all time, so they lose to them. But then it's okay, because it was just Vitality. And then the day after Dexter drops his twit longer, like, this is why, fuck Falcons. The check cleared now, fuck Falcons.
I don't want it to be a tweet. Like, I don't want to, I want to see him. I want you to do it. You can do it. Or Richard, anybody can do it.
Okay, cheers.
One of you do. Like, I'll whatever, try. Right? Okay. And then I want to see him talk about it. Like, I want to see, like, if he is telling the truth or not. Like, you know, just a tweet is just a tweet, just words. But if you see people speak, you can generally have a sense of if he's, like, genuine or, like, honest or he's just bullshitting you, right? So I would like to see that. And I'm hoping that it will be there. Who is next? Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to this. I'm looking at this. I was going to go with an in-game hot take that, you know, the what do you call it? The diffuse kit. We spoke about it should be 300, 200. I was going to go with the fact that it should be automatically assigned to every CT on spawn. And that would change the game fucking crazy. In a crazy way.
I'm just confused.
You always have 5 second defuses?
Yeah, I'm confused is why give him a defuse kit? Why not just make the defuse shorter? Isn't that the same thing?
You mean...
No, it's not. Because this way everybody has it and that way...
So they can drop it when they die and they have to rebuy it?
No, it doesn't fucking drop at all. It just attached to you, right? You just spawn with it every fucking round.
Never mind. That is the same as what I said. Yes. Yeah. I mean, as I said, Bowie, by his logic should be just remove the diffuse kit and make every diffuse the time of a diffuse kit. It's the same concept. Essentially.
Same.
Okay.
But I gave up on that hot take. I gave up on it.
Why are we previewing? Okay, we're getting like Kassad's scribbled notepad things in the waistband.
Not like Bowie in a long flight from fucking Hawaii to Istanbul, and then I'm thinking and I'm fucking doing my research.
My takes were good after that. I rushed this one today because the guys pressured me.
Yeah, but like you had a week to prepare. And there's so much material. But the thing is, like, speaking of so much material happening today, the next hot take, like, we saw the Hades loan instead of Monesi, right? Hades on loan. Instead of Hades, because they already written up the season.
Yeah.
Written out the season, they just ruled it out and whatever, right? They should use Simple as a stand-in for the major.
I was actually thinking of making this a take.
By the way, I actually do think, unironically, the difference is that's the only team right now where there's no downside to the move.
People would be happy to play
the hype alone, even if
just
it didn't work.
Imagine the fucking hype on the major around G2, around the major. Yep. I know you all want to say something now, but motherfuckers, but you had your time for your hot takes. Now it's my turn. Everybody would be around G2, around the major. Everybody would be fucking watching every single game. The fucking viewership would skyrocket. Simple would love to play the major, I assume.
Yeah.
And is everybody normal? He is the perfect, like, you know, fit considering the situation they're in right now. They don't have to buy him out. I'm sure that he would give up some of his salary or something just to be, you know, benched salary, just to be in a position to play the major.
Plus, he gets
and
stickers
then
anyway.
He has the experience playing on the high-pressure matches, big stages, playing in big organizations as well. And then G2 would use somebody like that, you know, that can deliver under pressure, that has experience, that can you kind of, that you can, somebody that can carry you, maybe, potentially. I don't know if he plays a lot of CS right now. But all signs point that would be a great, solid move. Even the financial one that people often say, like, you know, you're not considering that. Even financially, I think Navi would love it. Simple would love it. And G2 would be able to afford it.
Yeah.
Because it would be, like, something insignificant considering they sold Monesi for such a high fucking price. So him being there instead of Hades, who can be, you know, who is, like, a below average whopper right now. I think it's a way to go. I think that's the route they should take till the end of the season.
And they place top 8 in the major, so why not?
God. I feel like it works on a lot of levels, actually. One is just that in the server, very self-directed player, just like Monesi. I mean, Monesi created himself in the image of Simple in many ways. And, you know, knows how to call his own number. Simple does the same thing. He would give them a boost in terms of just playing outside of the system to give them something more because clearly they need it. Clearly, if they're just kind of playing within themselves, within whatever structure, if you want to call it that, that Taz and Stax are creating, they're pretty hard capped at best just making the playoffs of events, never really going any further than that. And with Hades, I feel like the thing is like it just kind of screams to me when you get someone like Hades, who I don't think is bad, by the way. I don't think Hades is bad. Like, people have given Hades a bad rep for a while because, like, I don't know, like, Sun Pius is better than him, but it was like, is that really a reason I'm mad at him? Like, he was more than serviceable on Ents.
Yeah.
No, he was never bad. He was never bad, and I think people kind of weirdly think that about him. But it just what it says to me is, like, did you get another Polish guy because you're just trying to make this like a Polish project now. Like, it's kind of weird that G2 is like leaning into that even heavier now. And one thing I'm just going to quickly address is that so many people kept repeating this ad nauseum, this like, get Grix because he was on that Aurora team.
Okay.
It's just like, it's just this absolute nobody right now. Grix, this guy could be good. He's like a 19-year-old that played for the Aurora lineup because Aurora kind of, everybody got benched because Eternal Fire took their spot on their own roster. People are saying, people should just look at Grix and pick him up. It's like, I watched a Grix demo. Like, he's pretty good. I mean, his pistol and rifle are totally solid. but like he just doesn't get flashed, and his rating is pretty much the same as Hades against top 50 teams. In fact, if you look over the last 12 months, Hades is actually better versus top 50 opponents, and he has way like 100 more maps than him. So it's like, I'll take the known quantity in Hades. I'm just addressing like a weird like subsect of Twitter, and also Dust told me like to get Grix, and I was like, I don't even know if anybody's watching this guy. And I actually took the time to watch Grix.
Who told
and,
you?
Dust said, a man called
Dustin Moret.
Dust said Grix also, and I was like, I'm gonna watch this guy. I watched a demo of him today, and it is literally just noob farming because nobody's flashing him. It's like this is not really that good of a demo, honestly. So yeah, I am outing all the people that are going for Grix today when I took the time to watch a demo of him off stream, didn't even make a YouTube video, just purely love of the game.
By the way, go on.
Listen, taking advice from, like, GMing advice from Dust is like taking advice about the wilderness surviving from a person that hasn't even camped in his own backyard.
That's not like, bad. It's not bad, actually. It sounded like it was going to fail it, but you sort of stuck the landing, man. That was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was good off the dome.
It wasn't bad. He was spitting. I'll raise your hot take, because I'll combine some of the things said in this episode. Here's the thing, Kassad. The real thing that disturbs me about G2 is, like, as we've said, if you think of the status of the org in esports and also the funding of the org and all the success they've had in other games, you would think their number one goal is be the best in CS. So they can, and by the way, technically in CS, you can be number one. You can't be number one in League of Legends. Like, there's always going to be Koreans and Chinese people that are better than you. I will say one more than that. I'll take your take and raise it. If you are really getting $2 million for Monacy, mate, don't just get fucking Simple. Here's what you do. Get Simple and Kiyosuke. Get them both, mate. Re-up and actually go for number one. It's a gamble, but fuck it. Buy those two players. If Simple doesn't work, whatever, you let him go. It's not going to be that expensive. Kiyosuke Gaz expensive, but he can be the future. Imagine if you actually had a roster with like fucking Hunter IGL, Heavy God. Like, you could make this team, mate. That team would actually, it'd be a crazy gamble. No one knows if it'd work, but like, if that's the sort of team that could actually be like, be a number one contender. Like, that could be unreal.
Not to mention the money you could be making back with Simple's fucking
absolutely
being marketable as yep. hell.
Oh right? My god, the jerseys!
Just imagine the number crazy. Of the amount of fucking jerseys they would sell.
You know, at the end of the year, they do that thing, Kassad, on Liquipedia. They put out a graphic at the end of the year that shows who is the most searched. Bro, he is more searched than Ziwu when he wasn't playing the game, and Ziwu was like the MVP candidate every tournament. That is the most that player would be crazy marketable, mate. Yes, of course. You would get a lot of money. You'd even make a lot of money as well, yeah.
Yeah, and even what do you call it? Simple himself said that the buyout is going down more and more, right?
Yes. No, so that's why we're saying, by the way, that's to tie it to the last point. That's why Na'Vi aren't idiots. People are going to think they are, Kassad, because they're like, why didn't you sell him earlier? Because if you'd have sold him for cheap, what if he actually then becomes insanely good and you've just given away the most marketable and one of the best players? You'd be an idiot. Like, their gamble of sort of holding and like bluffing that, like, hey, we'll keep him and we won't sell him unless you come with megabucks. That wasn't a bad idea last year. Someone might have bitten. It wasn't impossible. But at the end, they're not idiots. They're not going to let him go for free at the end. You're just going to sell him for like a few hundred
they're going to end up selling him at the end of the day, absolutely. Like, to make some money. Nobody's
just makes sense
to
for everyone. Yeah. But I agree with you, it'll be way lower. It won't be millions of dollars. Come on, it'll be like 500K or 700K or something.
Yeah, depending on the length that's remaining on the contract. Yeah.